With the start of Michigan's winter season, which can seem eternal, many of us may be taking refuge in seed catalogs or planning for next summer's gardens. Something else you might see is in an increasing number of yards, namely hives of bees. Backyard beekeeping, especially in urban areas, is seeing an upsurge in popularity. And joining us now to talk about trends in beekeeping is Dr. Roger Hoopengarner. Roger was a faculty member of the Department of Entomology at Michigan State University for 38 years and remains active in the beekeeping world. Welcome to Current State.
Good morning, Mark.
Nice to see you. We've heard a lot the past few years about a bee crisis, colony collapses, and a reduction in the bee population. What is the state of the North American bee as we speak?
Well, it's still in great trouble. We don't know the real problem. It's probably a factor of lots of mites, diseases, and things that have come into this country in the last 40 years. From overseas, and it may be a perfect storm. And that is, all of these diseases and parasites that have come together to affect the honeybee is just causing this colony collapse disorder. Mm. It may be other things, but we have never yet found out what they are.
Does that concern you as a beekeeper?
Oh, absolutely. We're still losing about 30% of our bees every winter. And this winter already we've lost lots of bees, early, which is earlier than normal. So we still are in great trouble.
Are we talking one species here, or various?
We're talking about the honeybee, but it also seems to, the population of bumblebees and wild bees are also down. And we don't know for sure quite why all of those are suffering at the same time.
Now, as a beekeeper, how do you contend with that?
Well, it's difficult because we have to sometimes replace our bees that die over winter. And we usually do this by getting bees from the south, which has a season advanced of ours. And so they produce bees for us in the north. So they ship them in packages or in colonies. And so it's a way of getting bees, replacing our bees. We also get some swarms from other colonies that are feral colonies that are in trees that reproduce by swarming. And we pick those up and use those to start colonies as well.
How many different species are native to mid-Michigan?
When we're talking about bees, I can't answer that exactly because I'm not a real taxonomist, but probably 300 or 400 solitary bees are native. There are bumblebee species that are native. Actually, the honeybee is not native.
We're in the hundreds?
Oh, yes.
Hundreds of different species of bees in mid-Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Now, some of these are, I wouldn't say rare, but uncommon, and others that are maybe more common. There are certainly bumblebee species that are very, very common. They're just found everywhere.
Do they serve the same function in terms of the environment and ecology?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they all pollinate.
Pollination.
Yeah. They use pollen for raising their brood. And that's how they get, they go out and search for nectar and pollen, but mostly pollen. The solitary bees are mostly pollen to feed their young.
How long have you kept bees in your backyard or property that you have, a farm?
Various places. This is my 65th year of keeping bees.
Wow.
Yeah.
A real noticeable transition in recent years then.
Oh, absolutely.
It sounds like it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We first picked up one of the original parasites in 1985, or recognized it at least in 1985. And so it's been fairly recent that we've had real troubles.
How many bees do you manage then?
I only have one colony in my backyard now.
And that's how many? But that's how many bees?
Oh, it usually roughly gets to be 45,000 to 50,000 in the middle of the summer.
Wow.
Right now, in this time of the year, it's probably down to 25,000 or 30,000.
Okay, but some of those you will be replacing here in towards spring then? Or
well,
how does this play out? If you are losing part of your brood, then how, what's the timeline like? When do you actually address that?
Bees are honeybees, as we know them, are a tropical animal that have learned to live in the north by what we call clustering. And they just get together in a big mass and generate heat. And if we look at inside of a colony right today, the center of that cluster is probably 85 degrees. As soon as they start raising brood about the first of the year, that will go to 95 degrees and stay there all through the rest of the summer, because that's the brood-rearing temperature, 95 degrees.
So if they weren't originally, strictly a tropical animal to start out.
They were originally a tropical animal, and they learned to live in the north by doing this
adaptation.
Clustering. Yeah. Well, it took them probably eons, but they did learn to do that. And as I say, honeybee is not native to this country either. We brought them in when the colonists arrived. They all of a sudden realized they didn't have sugar or honey, and they didn't have beeswax for their candles. And so they immediately sent notice back to the old world, hey, we need bees. And so they originally brought bees over.
Amazing. We're talking with Dr. Roger Hoopengarner, who was a faculty member of the Department of Entomology at MSU for 38 years and has been keeping bees himself for 65 years, you said?
Yes.
That's fantastic. What do you find a greater interest then in backyard beekeeping here in the Lansing area?
That's the fascinating thing. It's really all over the country, Mark. As the bee population has gone down and the stories have gone out about this colony collapse disorder, people have gotten really kind of interested in bees. And so while the number of bees maybe has gone down, the number of beekeepers has gone up greatly. Now I'm talking about the hobbyist, the backyard beekeeper. Last spring at our spring ANR week, Agricultural National Week meeting, we had over 650 people attend that meeting, and that was at Michigan State here.
But that doesn't have how big an impact does that have on the overall bee population?
Probably a minor, because commercial beekeepers still own probably 85 or 90% of all the bees. Mm. I mean, the total number of colonies of bees, just the number of beekeepers has increased greatly.
Mm-hmm. What about the different regulations regarding hives? I'm led to believe that different areas have different regulations. How does that play out here in Lansing?
Well, if we have, you'll find that local townships and cities may have ordinances against having bees in your backyard. Many of them do not, as long as they're not a nuisance. It just depends a little on the township or the local community. Sometimes we have to get those modified. Probably you noticed in New York City now allows bees in New York City, and that was a law that was changed about 2 years ago, maybe a little longer than that. But it was prohibited to have bees in New York City. Their bees were there because beekeepers did it kind of surreptitiously. They would have them roof of their apartment, and people didn't even know they had them.
Tough law to enforce.
Yeah, tough law to enforce, yes.
Do you think the growing interest in amateur beekeeping is as a result of word spreading of colony collapse disorder? Is this actually a response to that?
I can't answer that really, because I haven't felt that myself, because I'd already kept bees. But I think so. I think it's people are, well, maybe I can help. That kind of, the environment. If I kept a few bees, maybe that would help. And maybe I will learn something and be able to add something to the scientific knowledge about bees that keeps them healthy.
Is this a backyard pursuit for you, or do you own a farm or what?
This is a backyard pursuit for me. Mm-hmm. And typically, I say most of our beekeepers are very small, have one or two colonies in their backyard. They may, there are some that have, say, one or two in their backyard, but also have another half a dozen out on their friend's farm, that's local, nearby. So that's a way of keeping bees as well.
It's an awfully cold day out. I mean, we're into the winter season without a doubt. What happens in the wintertime here?
Well, the bees, as I say, have a mass and a cluster, and the outer shell of that bees kind of limits the heat dissipating. But they eat honey and metabolize, and actually shiver, if you can use that term, to generate this heat. And so the center of that cluster will be 85 degrees today. The outer shell may be only 40 or 45 degrees, and so the bees are barely moving because they're just...
But they survive.
But they survive.
They can survive. Right. That's just enough heat for the bee to survive. Boy, that is adaptation.
It is.
For a tropical animal to survive 40 degrees for months on end, or right. Whatever.
Yes,
that is.
And you keep bees, they keep bees in Canada, you know, there's a, maybe 150, 170, 80 days without flying. And so they learn how to have adapted to this cold weather.
Extraordinary pursuit, an extraordinary animal. If somebody has an interest in this and maybe wants to get their feet wet slowly, what do you recommend?
Well, first off, get to know a beekeeper if you can. For example, we have a local beekeepers club that meets at the pavilion every second Monday at 6:30. And you just go out there and get to talking to beekeepers and then read some books. There are lots of videos now on YouTube and things like that, and they can study that. They have to then probably buy some equipment and bees to get started. But knowing a beekeeper will help that transition greatly.
Interesting. I drive by on Mount Hope Avenue in Okemos. I drive past a stretch of road every day, and now that the leaves have all fallen, there is a branch hanging out over the road, and there's the most enormous bee's nest that has become revealed since the leaves fell. And I drive underneath this thing, and I think at some point this thing's going to drop.
It's actually probably a paper wasp nest.
Oh no, not a bee's nest. Probably not a wasp. Okay.
And those are dead now.
Okay.
But the nest itself is still there, but the bees or the wasp themselves are still
very
there.
Very good. I'm glad we could clarify that. Dr. Roger Hoopengarner was a member of the Department of Entomology at MSU for 38 years and is still an active amateur beekeeper. Roger, thanks for joining us.
My welcome. My pleasure.